Hello, everyone, and welcome to our Vital Health Community Health Topic Call for the month of, February 2020. And I'm excited to be here to talk to you about one of absolutely my favorite topics. You know how passionate I am about food. I'm just as passionate about going without food. So I wanted to really impart with you today the health benefits of fasting. So let me start here. I was 29 years old. It was back in 1985. And I want you to picture this. I had been dealing with health challenges for the last couple of years. And I was getting tired of it. I was getting tired of not having any response, any help with the issues that were going on. So it was late June, 2085 years old. I had just had emergency surgery for an ectopic pregnancy. Before that, I never even knew what an ectopic pregnancy was, but it's basically where there's a pregnancy and the baby's growing in your tube, your fallopian tube, instead of your uterus, and it's not viable. And it can cause a lot of symptoms, which I was having. I was rushed to the hospital, and I had surgery. The doctor told me I needed to take 6 weeks off of work, and I was like, okay, I need to recover. I'd recently heard about a fasting place nearby that I was like, I'd love to do this, but I don't have time off of work to go do this. So the universe handed me this on the silver platter. So I was about to do a fast. I'd recently learned about fasting as a healing modality, and I'd been struggling with my health for over 2 years, maybe even longer. But that I was aware of. I was tired of the brain fog. It came and went. I was tired of only having glimpses of my old self. I was tired of having my stomach hurt. Every time I ate, and I was tired of the crazy medications they kept putting me on. Steroid shots in my nose, antibiotics for the sinus problems, cortisone, ulcer medication, and nothing really seemed to help. Valium for my headaches. So even though I had been told I didn't have an ulcer, I was still put on ulcer medication, and I wanted an alternative. And so I decided that I would look into alternatives, and fasting was what I found. I was also disgusted with the sinus problems. I had constant post-nasal drip, never went away. And it didn't respond to all those medications I just told you about. I found a local location. I'd recently been down there for a visit. I looked at it. We got a tour. We heard their spiel. We heard about people who had benefit from it. And I decided I really wanted to do it, but now was my opportunity. So I made a reservation after I got back out of the hospital. And I was really excited, but as you know, probably scared, right? I'd already done fast before. I'd done 5-day fast as part of, like, identifying my allergies. And I was trying to find out, you know, what foods I was allergic to, similar to what we're doing with the elimination diet in the Body Balance program right now, is I did a fast, and I never could figure it out because I never knew how to add foods back. But this was different because I didn't know how long I was going to be fasting for. I was just going there in faith and trust that they were going to help me to fast for as long as I needed to. So I'm here to tell you right now about that experience. I just lost my note. I had some notes set up that I was going to do it. I wanted to make sure I didn't miss anything. Oh, yeah, I wanted to tell you. So it was 2 days before my fast. And I had already been on kind of an elimination diet. I'd already eliminated gluten. I'd already eliminated dairy, for the most part, not 100%. I'd already eliminated sugar. And I was struggling with what else I needed to eliminate. But a couple of days before the fast, and after reading all their literature and, you know, understanding the process, I decided that I was going to do this fast, and I was going to eat however it took for me afterwards. I was going to give up everything that I needed to give up in order to have good results. So I was 2 days before, and I'm thinking, this is the last hurrah. I may never get the opportunity again to eat these things that are my favorites. So the thing that came to mind was, get this, toast with melted mozzarella cheese, like a grilled cheese sandwich, but with mozzarella cheese, and ice cream. Those are the two things I hadn't had in a long time that I was missing. So I went ahead and I decided, okay, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to be doing this fast. Let me go ahead and try this. So I got whole wheat bread, organic whole wheat bread. I did the best I could for the cheese, and back then getting organic cheese wasn't always easy. I don't remember if it was organic or not, but I got the mozzarella cheese, I put it on the bread, I put it in the toaster oven, and I waited. And the cheese melts, and it looked amazing. And then I decided that that was going to be my lunch. So I pulled it out, and with eager anticipation, I took a bite. And I chewed the bite, and I was shocked that it didn't taste the way I remembered it. Wow. I was disappointed. I was disappointed, but I was also kind of relieved that that craving was checked off my list and I didn't need to do it. So, as disappointed as I was, I thought, okay, ice cream's not going to do this to me. So it was the night before my fast. I'm about to go away to this place. I go out to dinner with my husband and actually a friend who was in town. We went to our favorite restaurant to have a fish dinner. And I thought, this is the last time because, you know, I'm not going to be doing this after I do my fast. And I had my fish dinner and ice cream. We went to our favorite ice cream place. I got, you know, bowl of my favorite ice cream, or what I thought was my favorite ice cream, and I ate it. And yeah, it was good, but it wasn't the orgasmic pleasure I was expecting. I said, okay, I'm about to go on to this fast. Probably wasn't the best way to go into a fast because I had, you know, reignited some of the things that I had calmed down at, by being off of dairy and meat for a while. But it was my last hurrah, and I took it. And I'm looking back, I'm glad I did, but part of me knowing what I know now is like, my fast probably would have been quicker and easier had I not done that. So I went into the fast, not knowing how long it was going to be, but knowing it was going to be longer than 5 days. And the first 3 days were horrific. I was, you know, headachy and achy and had all the detox symptoms. But then on day four, some of that lifted. And then on day five, I felt really good. I felt so good that I went off to their little gym that they had there, and I said, I'm going to just do a half an hour of weightlifting. My body had another thought. I felt good, but I didn't have the strength. So I ended up staying there and reading everything I could, meeting people, learning about fasting, learning about toxicity, learning about health and how my body works. And I ended up fasting for 28 days. The beauty of that was that I felt phenomenal. I lost 23 pounds, and I didn't need to lose weight. I started at 115, so I ended up at 92 pounds at 5'4". People said I looked horrible. I looked emaciated, although, your body looks real emaciated, but your face has a glow to it. Your eyes have a glow to it. I was feeling better than I'd ever felt in my life. And I knew that the symptoms I've been experiencing related to the toxic life, the imbalances in my body up till that point. So I healed really quickly. I was fortunately 29 years old, barely, and I healed quickly. Not everybody heals quite that quickly. Sometimes it takes repeated faster cleanses after that and really good dedication. But I'm excited about fasting. You've heard me talk about fasting. I'm excited about eating cleanly. And I'm here to talk to you today about the health benefits of going without. I know that you might be nervous about undertaking a fast. Some of you have done intermittent fasting. That's become popular these days. I will tell you, I was very secretive about what I'd done to get my health back because people thought, oh, she's anorexic, something's wrong with her. So I didn't talk much about my fast. For a very long time, even in my years in practice, I would talk to specific people about it. But on webinars, when people ask, you know, how do I get my health back, I always talked about cleansing and detoxification. But now that the cat's out of the bag and people are aware that fasting can be amazingly beneficial, here I am to talk about fasting, and I've been openly talking about it. So a lot of people have trouble even with what's called intermittent fasting. And we're going to talk about the different kinds of fasting. But some people have trouble even with that. Like, if I go more than 12 hours or 14 hours or 20 hours without food, I feel out of it. However, I'm here to tell you that there's lots of ways to get the benefits of fasting. And some of you have been through some other recent programs where we can do that. So today's talk is about the benefits of fasting for health and longevity. And disclaimer, this is not intended as medical advice. It's definitely not intended as a replacement for any healthcare professional you are working with. And if you are on medication or you're under the care of a doctor, please do not undertake a fast without connecting with them first. You know, unless you're talking intermittent fasting of 14 hours, especially if you're on medication. All right, that's my disclaimer. And now we're going to go into what are we going to cover today. So I want to talk about why fasting, which is an ancient healing technique, how do we do that in the modern world? The ins and outs of fasting and what the different types are, how to eat while achieving the benefits of fasting, who gets the most out of fasting and who should proceed with caution. We're going to talk about autophagy and how it's almost magic, how to measure it, how to achieve it, and the role of diet variation in hormone flexibility and balance as a result of the changes that you get after fasting. So fasting in the modern world. It's a great way to jumpstart ketosis, and you've all heard about ketogenic diets. They're all the rage these days. In reality, ketogenic diets are not new. They've just somebody who's great at marketing decided to show this off to the real world. So it's a great way to get yourself into ketosis, and a lot of the benefits of fasting come from the way that the body shifts from looking for fuel from the outside, looking for glucose, to burning what it has on the inside. And the result of that is rapid weight loss in terms of fat loss, rapid loss of toxic cells, and we'll talk about the process of autophagy, how the body gobbles up damaged cells, sparing the healthy cells. And how do we achieve this in the modern world? Well, there's a bunch of different types of fasting. So let's look a little bit about the types of fasting. Before we go into the benefits, I just want to share with you the types of fasting. So you have intermittent fasting. Intermittent fasting is used to describe periods, longer periods that we do. So, for example, some people say intermittent fasting is 12 hours between meals. I kind of think 12 hours between meals, quite frankly, between you and me, is what everybody needs to be doing. Our body is supposed to be fasting for 12 hours a day. It's just by design. We tend to crunch that down and eat more frequently, just as a result of the lifestyle, as a result of sitting around on the couch watching TV and needing something to munch on, and as a result of, you know, widespread insulin resistance that causes people to crave food and need that last snack before bed. But really, 12 hours. But intermittent fasting, or what I like to call time-restricted eating, is you eat within a window of whether it's 12 hours, 8 hours, some people 6 hours, and even 4 hours, and they do that every day. But intermittent fasting, we'll talk about the different types, can also be going a day a week without food. And it can be going 24 hours without food a couple of times a week. So intermittent fasting is that art of fasting and then eating, intermittent, right? Then we have shorter fasts, which I consider shorter fasts, say anywhere from 2 to 5 to even 7 days. Well, 2 to 5 days is a shorter fast. You know, 5 to 7 days might be a medium fast. And then longer fasts are over 7 days. It's usually safe to do a shorter fast, like 2 to 3 days, without medical supervision. Many people can do it. The caveat there is if you're on insulin or blood sugar lowering medications or blood pressure lowering medications, the fasting can actually shift your body very, very quickly. So that's that. We have intermittent fasting. We have short, medium, and longer term extended fasts. And then we have fasting with food, which we just got off doing a challenge with in one of our groups. and I'm going to talk about that. But diets that mimic the effects of fasting. So we're going to go through each of those. And at the end, what I want you to be able to do is say, I'm going to dive in and try fasting. I've already done this kind. I'm going to try this kind. So step up your game in terms of fasting. If you've never done any, you start with the 12-hour and then the 14-hour and then the 16-hour. Okay, so we'll get into that. So the benefits of fasting, it boosts metabolic activity. You're going to say, hey, what? How can it boost metabolic activity? Well, shorter fasts, anywhere from up to 3 days, can actually cause the body to step up the metabolism and burn fat more efficiently. It just happens. Longer-term fasts will slow down, but studies have shown that short-term fasting actually helps, especially the intermittent. It generates antioxidants. It helps your body to take the antioxidants from food and use them and to mobilize antioxidants within your body. It helps reverse the effects of aging. There's lots of studies that show this. It helps to increase a chemical called butyrate, which is important for gut health. It's important for good, healthy microbiome. Carnitine, which is helpful to get fats in and out of cells. And branched-chain amino acids, which can be used as fuel for the body and can be converted to glucose. It increases the activity of the Krebs cycle, which is that cycle for taking glucose and turning it into HP, which is basically our energy currency of the cell. But it also, you know, can utilize fatty acids and ketones for that and produce ATP and increases that. It can enhance gene expression. It can enhance protein synthesis via these pathways called the purine and pyrimidine. And then it activates these amazing chemicals called sirtuins. Sirtuins have been found to be important in aging process and reversing the aging process. And it improves insulin sensitivity, so the cells become less insulin resistant and more receptive. The defense, the antioxidant defense, and a process called glycolysis to create fuel. It also lowers insulin and glucose. Now, this is why cost care. You don't want to do this without major supervision if you're type 1 diabetic because your insulin levels are already too low. But the sensitivity is certainly worth it. And even with type 1s, there's ways to incorporate some intermittent fasting with medical supervision. I've worked with people and guided people who have type 2 diabetes, but type 2 diabetes where it was so far along that they were on insulin and oral diabetic agents like metformin, and I've actually guided them, and at about 2 weeks of fasting, they were able to go off of that. And they worked carefully with their doctor. Their doctor thought they were kind of crazy, but he was intrigued, and he said, okay, go this, do this, do this, was off of it. So in spite of this, what he told this client was that he said, I know it's crazy, and it's not within the scope of medicine for me to say yes, that, you know, you should be doing this, but I'm intrigued, and I've kind of been telling my colleagues about you. So I thought that was really cool. So it decreases inflammation. It stimulates autophagy. We're going to talk more about autophagy, which is the gobbling up of old corroded cells. And it also improves blood pressure very quickly. The same person within 3 weeks was off the blood pressure medication. And triglycerides and cholesterol improved dramatically. So it improves brain function. It helps to feed the ketones that are produced while you're fasting, help to fuel the brain, and it's a cleaner fuel, and it aids in cancer. There's a doctor that wrote a book, I think it's called Cancer as a Metabolic Process, that is all about his work with using ketogenic diets and fasting to support people who have cancer. So it has a lot of benefits. So the types, intermittent, short, extended, dry, and fasting mimicking. So intermittent, we talked about, there's several types and there's several ways that you can do it. Those of you who are in sweet spots in the fifth module, the timing is everything module, I have an 18-page paper on that. I've taken that paper and I've shortened it down and made it more publicly available, and I'm going to be, I actually have my graphics person working on that now, so within the next few weeks, they'll probably have that available where you can get access to that. It really talks about all the types of fasting, and I've updated the version of it and added some stuff as well to the one from Sweet Spot. But it's really, when you look at the research, fasting is pretty amazing, intermittent fasting. Short, like I said, you know, anywhere from a couple of days, couple, 3 days to 5 days. Some people think 5 days is extended. I probably kind of think of that as medium, and then extended, which is over 7 days, 10 days, up to the 30 days. I've had people, I've seen people fast up to 35 days. Dry fasting is something I'm queasy about, I'm skeptical about, and it's basically where for some length of time you don't eat or drink. Scary, right? Because to me it's like, oh, we're trying to get the kidneys to release these toxins that we're mobilizing, but we're not drinking. So what happens, and some folks say that, or some of the researchers say that with the dry fast, we get that fluid from inflammation in the body. We break down inflammatory areas of the body. And so dry fasting is supposed to stimulate that. I did try dry fasting once. It was on day 3 of a 5-day water fast. So I only drank water for day 1 and 2. Day 3, I tried to do it without water. And I will say, so I went from like 8 o'clock the night before and throughout. The hardest thing was I kept feeling like I wanted to drink. It's really easy for me to go off food after the first day, but going without water was hard. So I kept trying to reach for water. And I made it to about maybe 5 o'clock that evening, 5 or 6 o'clock, and I said I can't do this anymore. So I made it like maybe 20 hours. So I didn't make it quite 24, and I didn't really like it. Now I haven't done as much research as I can. I think there's probably some therapeutic use for it. Not something that I'm, you know, here to recommend. And then the fasting mimicking diet, which is eat while fasting, and fasting with food, we called it. We've renamed our program for doing that to fasting while feasting, and I'm super excited. We're going to relaunch it sometime in the spring. So some of the other healing power. How does fasting heal? Like, okay, so we have two states, the fed state and the fasting state, and we're supposed to be alternating those. Right, that's by design. We go to sleep at night, we fast during the day, we're fed, and we alternate those cycles. Unfortunately, in our modern world, we have access to food all the time. We don't really get those periods of fasting as much. Fasting is supposed to happen between meals, 4 to 6 hours between meals. Okay? Oh, well, most people don't go that long. Most people are eating continuously throughout the day or have been told to eat every couple of hours. And that's actually not conducive to healing. We heal in the fasted state. We replenish in the fed state. So after about 16 hours of fasting, the body begins to attack the bad cells because it's looking for fuel. It goes, oh, wow, autophagy is what that's called. Let's eat it up. And the body will always eat the bad cells and the tissues first before going to break down your good stuff, right? The bad cells can't adapt to using fat. They're damaged. They need to go away. They're damaged. They can't adapt to using fat and ketones to burn. So they start to wizzle up and they get eaten up and gobbled up. So as a result, the body can clear cellular debris and cancerous cells. When I was fasting, I was rooming with a woman. You know, I had several roommates throughout that time. Who she was back there for a repeat, you know, when you go back for an extra boost, right, a booster kind of cleanse. And she'd already been there before and done an extended cleanse, and she literally had cancers that had been diagnosed, that she had skin cancers that fell off during fasting. So she was coming back for a 10-day fast every so often just to keep the process going. Some people can fast at home, some people can't. I mean, it takes a lot of strength and stamina to stick to a fast at home. And that's basically that. So that's how the body fasts. So fast, eat fast, eat fast. That's the intermittent fasting. There's a window where you eat, there's a window where you fast. If you want the most healing benefits, the fasting window is longer than the eating window. But at least start by doing equal. If you get nothing from this presentation, if you're not already having a 12-hour fast from night to morning, start there. You'll notice a difference. And then move to the spaces between your meals. Slowly extend it until there's 4 to 6 hours between your meals. And then you're going to get some of the benefits of fasting in a way called intermittent fasting. Okay? So in some cases, we do a 24-hour fast twice a week. But the cool part about a 24-hour fast is you don't have to go a single day without food. You go, huh? Well, if you eat dinner one night and you don't eat again until dinner the next night, you fasted for 24 hours. Alternatively, you can go lunch to lunch. You can go breakfast to breakfast. If you do that 2 days a week, not consecutively, you know, space maybe 2 days between them, the studies have shown that weight loss, insulin levels, glucose, all of this stuff happens much more quickly than if you were on a calorie-restricted diet all the time. So, intermittent fasting, so alternate day. You can eat one day, fast the next day. You can do a window. Some people do a fasting window of 16 hours, 18 hours, and an eating window of 6 to 8 hours, right? If you're going to eat, do a 6-hour eating window, you're not necessarily going to have 6 hours between meals, although you can eat once at the beginning of that window and once at the end. So, for example, say you decide you're going to do a 6-hour eating window. Maybe you choose that you're going to eat between 2 in the afternoon, 2 plus 6 is 8, and 8 at night. Maybe you have a meal at 2, you have a meal at 8, and then you're done, right? And then you start again. Maybe your 6-hour window is you're going to go from 10 till 4, right? That sounds pretty reasonable, right? It's a little bit of a late breakfast and a little bit of an early dinner. If you try to do 3 and you need to do 3 in between there, then you put it in the middle and it's going to be, you know, you can get as many as 3 hours between the meals. Okay? And then there's diet variation that's important. So if you do the same thing all the time, your body adapts and you can hit a plateau. So if you find yourself that you're hitting a plateau in terms of health improvement and in terms of your weight, then diet variation is super, super important. Dr. Daniel Pompa talks about this all the time, and his is based on some research by, I can't remember the name of the doctor, but he's on Facebook, so I remember him. So the diet variation is super, super important because it keeps the body guessing. So what you can do is you can do intermittent fasting 5 days a week, and then on the in-between days, maybe you do feasting days. Feasting doesn't mean going out and eating pizza and beer and M&Ms. What that means is you just eat more, you eat a wider window, or you eat more in the way of carbs. And then you go back to the rest. So you can alternate the days. You can have 1 day a week of feasting and the rest of the days of intermittent fasting. You could do 1 day a week where you do a 24-hour fast. You can do 4 days a week where you do intermittent fasting. You can do 1 day a week or 2 days a week of feasting. So you find out where you're at. Everybody's starting in a different place. If you've never fasted more than 8 hours before, just move to the 12 hours and do that for a while. Go easy on your body. And, you know, fasting is not that hard. One of our people that's on the call here today wrote to me and said, hey, I'm on day 3 of a 5-day fast. And she just did it. We talked about working together on doing it and guiding her through it, and she just made it, right? And other people like Angelica has tried to do more than 36 hours, and she says that she gets a little wonky at that point. And, you know, some of it might be caffeine withdrawal. There may be a lot of things there. So I just say if you really want to do a longer fast, like a 3 to 5 day fast, you can plan on it, but plan on doing a 1 day fast and then eat regularly and then a 2 day fast. And then eat regularly. My guy that did the 28-day fast, that's how he did it. He got up to 3 days. Then he started eating again. Then he went to 4 days. And at 4 days, because he was on insulin, his levels started dropping too low. That's when he said, I'm not going beyond this until I, you know, have this conversation with my doctor to make sure it works. He also got in a role of, you know, doing this maintenance plan of fast a day, feast a day, fast 2 days, feast 2 days, fast 3 days, feast, you know, and then repeating that. So you'll figure it out for yourself. But if you want to do it, do a 1 day fast. If you really feel like you can go the second day, then do it. Otherwise, just go back to your normal and then go to 2 days and then go to 3. Those of you who've been doing intermittent fasting and been going 16 hours, it's going to be less difficult for you than it is for somebody who's never done any kind of fasting. So next, so let me give you some time-restricted eating guidelines. So meal one, is called breakfast, and whether you eat it at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 6 o'clock. It's going to be called breakfast because it's your break your fast meal. And we want to make sure that you get a really good break your fast meal that has all the components that are going to keep you satisfied for 4 to 6 hours. And I have a really good booklet. Many of you have it already. It's in Sweet Spot, but it's also available if you go to hormonehackingbreakfastmenus.com. Hormonehackingbreakfastmenus.com. And that's a great way to start the day. Again, whether you start your day at 6 a.m., 2 p.m., it doesn't matter. It's a really good way to start the day. Meal two, some call it lunch. You might be your dinner if you've had your breakfast at 12 or 2. So if you're eating two meals a day, that's fine. If you're eating three meals a day, that's fine too. You can still do intermittent fasting and time-restricted eating window. Here's the thing. I've looked at lots of studies, and the jury's still out on this, but there was one study that I looked at that said that they compared people who did one meal a day to people who did 2 to 3 meals a day and spread the same amount of food out, and the people who did the one meal a day tended to have the worst results in terms of weight loss. So they were only measuring weight loss. So another study I recently posted that talked about the time-restricted eating being better, early time-restricted eating than late, and it having to do with glucose levels and insulin levels. I experiment with that, so I have a late time-restricted eating, and if I eat too late, like yesterday, I was really bad, and I had my last meal at 9, because I'd had calls all day, and maybe it was 9:30, and my husband made this great vegetable soup, and I had that, and I sprinkled in a few of my little crackers that I'd made during a program for the Energy Recharge Inner Circle a couple of weeks ago, and it was too late, and my glucose was a little higher than usual today. It wasn't bad. It was 87, but typically my fasting glucose in the morning, if I eat earlier, is going to be, you know, more like, you know, 65 to 75. So it was higher for sure. That was just one day. I'm going to experiment with it. But I want to look at, for each individual, the studies show that when you do an earlier time-restricted eating, is better for glucose and ketone and insulin levels than if you do later. But again, those studies are always done on people eating kind of the standard American diet, so they have a lot of garbage in there. So I would love it if you're interested, try it yourself. Personally for me, even if it makes my glucose a little higher, I like the later time-restricted window because once I start eating, I just want to keep eating. So I'm going to experiment with it. I'm going to do this for a week, and I'm going to really look at my numbers more carefully. And then I'm going to do a week of trying it earlier. And if I may cut that short, because if I eat breakfast at 9 a.m. or 10 a.m., and I start getting, like, super, like, I want to eat. It triggers emotional eating things. And I start eating more frequently. I'm not going to like it. So I'm going to stop. But it may be like trade-offs. Everybody needs to know for themselves. When I posted that in the Unstoppable Health group. If you guys are not all in the Unstoppable Health group, go join it because there's a lot of activity there. But anyway, I posted it there, and a lot of people said, yeah, but I'm not hungry in the morning. I feel well. Try it. See which works better for you. There's no absolutes. There's no rules when it comes to that. So there's a three-meal-a-day limit, no more than 3 meals a day if you're doing intermittent fasting, time-restricted eating. There's no snacking. There's no grazing between meals. You have a meal, you wait, you have another meal. What happens to me if I wait too late? Then I have one continuous meal because I just can't get enough. So I'll get up. If I wait till 4 to have my first meal, then I'm hungry and I just want to keep eating. If I have no calls that I'm on, I can just keep going to the refrigerator and keep, you know, oh, every half hour I'm going down to eat again. That's not a good thing to do. So you always have to find that out for yourself. And then no late night eating. So I didn't eat within 3 hours of bedtime last night. I ended up staying up till 2:30 because I was working on a project. So I still didn't eat in that window. I was finished by 10, and 2 is 4 hours later. But still, you're better off not eating. You know, actually, honestly, I think past 7 is probably a good time to just stop eating. Just because of the way your metabolism works, your metabolism isn't set up to be digesting food that way. Okay, so So what are some of the effects of intermittent fasting and fasting in general? It gives your digestive system a needed rest, right? Your digestive system gets irritated, it gets leaky, it gets inflamed. Unlike your hand, where you can put a bandage on it and not put it in dirty, soapy dishwater, the gut doesn't get that break if we keep eating. So it gives the gut a break, and it allows the digestive tract opportunity to actually heal. It diverts energy from digestion into healing, which is a good thing. It helps to reduce insulin level. We talked about that before, and improves insulin sensitivity, lowers blood pressure, decreases what's called lipid peroxidation. This was a study they did in men with prediabetes, but I'm sure it applies elsewhere. Increases fat, calories down. You know, so you basically go out and burn your stores, which most of us have enough of. Some of us don't. And it reduces ghrelin, which is the hunger hormone, and it improves appetite when you do eat. So here's the thing. I personally do better when I eat two meals a day. I personally get less cravings if I have a really good meal. The problem comes for me, and maybe this applies to you, is when I'm really busy and my only time is to go to the fridge, see what's there, and eat it. And I eat these little bitty, you know, mini meals. That doesn't work well for me because once I start eating, I want to keep eating until my body's had enough, right? So, but if I sit down, if I'm doing my two meals a day, and I sit down to a nice big salad with some good whole food fats on them, like avocado, hemp seeds, I make a nice dressing or a pate to put on it, wow, I feel phenomenal, and I'm full. I don't even finish it, and then I'm done. This happened to me Sunday night. Went out to dinner with friends for someone's birthday, and I ordered this beautiful salad. It's called the Tarzan salad, and it's got all kinds of leafy greens and avocado, and it's got some sesame seeds on it and all kinds of veggies, and then it has these broccoli and portobello mushrooms that have been coated with nutritional yeast, so they look like they're breaded. And I sat down, and I just said, okay, I'm going to do this the way I should be doing it. Slowly, notice my hunger when it starts to be satiated, and I only ate half the salad, and I felt full, and that was it for the rest of the night. So really, you know, paying attention to how you eat your meals is going to help you to make those windows in between much better. But if you just go down to the fridge like I do, grab some sauerkraut and eat it, and then come back up and work again, and go down and grab an avocado and eat it, and then go have a smoothie, and you know, it just doesn't work really well. So intermittent fasting works super, super well if you follow these rules. And everybody's going to find it works differently for them. Quick on diet, dry fasting. Dehydration will raise your blood sugar. Fasting will lower your blood sugar. What happens if you combine them? Ultra rapid onset of ketosis is what they find. Interesting, right? But be careful. You don't want to be dehydrated. It can be very damaging when you don't get rid of the toxins. A lot more research and clinical trials need to be done, and I would really, really be careful if you're going to try this. And, you know, start with just 14 hours and see how you feel. Personally, for me, I went almost 24, and I didn't like it, but I have friends who've gone 24 to 36 to even 48. All right. Whoops. What happened to... There's something weird happens when I take my slides and I put them in here. So people, now this was supposed to be, it must have blanked out my thing on there. Okay, so what really is, who is fasting good for? Well, if you're overweight, you're not on medication, but you're overweight and trying to struggle with this, creating a fasting regime can be super helpful. If you are fatigued, if you have hormonal imbalances that you've been dealing with, and if you're insulin resistant or pre-insulin resistant, fasting can be really, really good for you. People who are diabetic already need to use caution, right? So the other people are, of course, pregnant and nursing. You don't want to fast while you're pregnant or nursing, especially nursing, because nursing, the baby is going to get your toxins right from the milk, and pregnant similarly. So unless you're working with somebody who is an expert on fasting during pregnancy or nursing, no, do not do it. If you're severely underweight or malnourished, you need to refeed first before you fast. You know, and lots of people I think fasting would be helpful for from the standpoint of lowering their immune load, but they're 85 pounds. Like, no, we can't fast. We've got to refeed, nourish super, super dense nutritional foods, and then we can do fasting. I wouldn't worry about it. I was right at my ideal weight. I was 115 pounds, 5'4", and I lost weight. I got down to 93. It came back. I didn't start at 93. I wouldn't have undertaken a fast if I started at 93. Okay, so really keep that in mind. If you're low and you're at your ideal weight, do not worry about it. The weight will come back. But if you're below that and you're having trouble keeping weight on, I wouldn't recommend fasting. If you're on medications like insulin or blood pressure medications, blood thinners, or NSAIDs could be, you know, something you got to check with your doctor. Like I said, I've successfully fasted people who are on medications, but it was with very, very careful monitoring with me and with their doctor. You're not always going to find an MD who prescribes these drugs who knows anything about fasting. So you may need two people on your healthcare team to be able to provide you with that. Somebody who really knows fasting and someone who really knows the medications. Type 1 diabetics, I've never done it. You'd want to work with someone, one person who you find that knows how to do both, because it can be, you know, can be scary and life threatening. Hypotension, low blood pressure, that's okay. You just want to use caution and monitor the blood pressure, because fasting will lower it. But normally, the body's smart, it doesn't lower it beyond. But if you have super low blood pressure to begin with, like it's 90 over 60, just watch carefully, because you don't want your blood pressure dropping rapidly. So the fasting mimicking diet, it was research that was done with Dr. Walter Longo. He wrote a book called The Longevity Diet. It's low calorie, low carb, low fat diet. You do it 5 days a month and get the benefits similar to fasting. He was looking for, there's so many people who could benefit from fasting, but their life doesn't allow them to do it. So how can we do this? So he created this, and he did the research, and there's very specific nutrient values that people are on, and I created a food form of it. What Dr. Longo created was, and in his book he doesn't give you menu plans or guidelines, he just says here's the amount of carbs, fat, and protein that you eat. But he created a packaged food, which makes it really easy for people to do 5 days of this and get the benefits of fasting. Problem with it is it's very expensive. It's like $250 for 5 days, whereas fasting is, get this, free for 5 days, okay? And if you use this fasting while feasting approach where you're eating foods, you've reduced your calorie intake to about a third, so you're actually cutting down on your food bill. So the disadvantages of the powder is some of that stuff is not very appealing. I tried to get my husband to use it when they gave me a free kit, and he was like, can I substitute cucumbers for this? So I think we just have to look at real food. But for people who are on the go all the time, busy executives, busy moms, I mean, it's certainly a powerful process, and I know people have done it and gotten good results. I personally prefer the food process. And this is our new logo for the Fasting While Feasting, which used to be called Fasting with Food. And I changed it for a couple of reasons. One, I kept looking at people's foods that they were posting and saying, wow, that looks like a feast, not a fast. And they were getting results as if they fasted. Their glucose was lowering. The highest was one person dropped their glucose 5 days, 200 points, another one 100 points, and others, you know, varying degrees. People had their ketones into the fours and fives by the last day. So amazing results. But then, so I kept saying, you're fasting while you're feasting. So I really like that name. I wasn't able to get the URL for Fasting with Food, and I was able to get the URL for Fasting While Feasting, and we're going to go for a trademark on it as well. So that's it. So the benefits of a diet that mimics fasting, that's his kit. So you can see everything's packaged. There's no fresh food in there other than the olives. I think he said, my husband said, were really good. And the tea, they're just tea bags. So when you do this, what they found in their studies is that we had an increase in human growth hormone, finding of removal, like the autophagy starts happening, of cancerous and precancerous cells, increased immune system functioning, increased fat burning, and a rapid shift into nutritional ketosis, a shift that you normally would just see during fasting, right? So if you're fasting, like for me, because I'm adapted to fasting, I've been doing it for a long time, by the end of my 24-hour fast, I'm already in serious ketosis. Like, it works that fast. For most people, by day three, you're starting to get into ketosis. Day five, you're really there. But it actually, this helps you do it without having to fast. So I was shocked that my ketones were like almost five by day five, and I'd never had that happen, get that high while eating food. Autophagy happens. Autophagy is that where we gobble up those cells. Apoptosis is like the normal programming, like the cell has reached its end and it just pops. It just, self-destructs. They measured that. They measured oxidative stress markers, and they measured inflammation. And all of this improved with people doing this 5 days. And the recommendation is 5 days a month or 5 days every other month, depending on, your situation, over the period of a year. And phenomenal, phenomenal results. And, when you think about it, if you're going 5 days a month, you can do a five-day-a-month fast. That's harder. But you can do a five-day-a-month of this fasting with food fasting while feasting and feel like you're fine. Some people couldn't even eat all the food that was listed, and they were losing weight, losing inches, and affecting really good changes to their hormones. Increased mental performance, they measure something called BDNF, brain-derived neurotrophic factor, and that was improved as well. So, and then psychological benefits. People just feel lighter and better and, really, really work. So what else do I have for you? So this is what it looks like, and this is what we did in our Fasting While Feasting. I think you can still get this if you go to drritamarie.com/fastingwithfood. You can still get access to my stuff. If you were to get access to it now, you're going to get the updates when we do them in the spring. So we're going to really re-update and improve the book and add extra recipes and, create some really good stuff around it. So welcome to get that. It was free when we did it, but it's going to be a paid program because it takes a lot of effort and team effort for me to be able to make it happen. So day one, you're eating about 1,100 calories. Days two to five, you're eating between 650 and 700 calories. And it's all within the guides of what are you eating? Well, 34% carbs, 10% protein, 56% fat. It doesn't have to be that exact. This is what he showed. I have ranges, and when you do the fasting while feasting, you'll see my ranges, and it's going to vary from person to person, right? But the foods are all whole foods. They're all plant-based, and this is what it looks like lower protein, probably about, for somebody who weighs 150 pounds and normally might be eating 70 to 80 grams of protein a day, 35 to 45 works. So if you look at our menus in that booklet, in the Fasting While Feasting book, we actually have all the core breakdowns, the protein, fat, carbs. High micronutrient content. It's getting close to what you need, 30 to 50% of the recommended daily allowance. I think on ours it's even higher than that because we're eating so much nutrient-dense whole foods. And then proteins are all from plant sources. We're not eating meat or fish or anything like that during this process. We're going to try for, if you tolerate, 5 cups of cruciferous brassicas. And when you do smoothies and juices, you can do this. Half an onion if you tolerate sulfur foods. If you don't, then you have some sulfur metabolism issues and we leave it out. But half an onion, 3 cloves of garlic or a leek gives you some good detox effects. Again, if you can't do that, you don't have to do that. Then we use a lot of high water content foods like cucumbers and squashes and all sorts of great stuff like that. And then low glycemic fruit, but minimal, 1 to 2 servings a day. Avocado, nuts, seeds, olives, coconut for fat. Whole food, plant-based fat. I'm not a big fan of oil, but if you are underweight, you may have to add some oil to stuff to get this, or you have problems with your stomach and you can't eat too much, you may have to add a little bit of oil. And MCT or coconut oil would be the preferred because they help you get into ketosis quickly. You can drink as much herbal tea as you want. Some people do this with coffee. I'm not a fan of coffee. I'm not a fan of the caffeine in your system when we're trying to be cleansing. So that's my take. Okay. And I'll answer questions. I see some questions coming in. I'll answer questions when we're done. Here's the famous autophagy. Remember Pac-Man? Right? So there's the membrane, the cell membrane, and there's this inside stuff, the cytosol inside it, and organelles, and it gobbles up this broken cell and then closes it up, and they call that an autophagosome, for those of you who are techie and want to know that. And then there's something called the lysosome in the cell, which has all these acids that help to break it down, and it breaks it down, and boom, it's gone. So it's basically, let's think of it as a game of Pac-Man with these damaged cells. So these are metabolic improvements. We already went over most of these. Increased metabolic rate, antioxidant. I think we did go over all of these. Just a duplicate. And that's it. So that's it. So here's my recommendation for you. I see that some people posted in the chat. Post in the chat what your experience has been with fasting. If you've never done it, if you've done fasting with food, if you've done intermittent fasting, and what's the longest fast you've ever done. I'm just really, curious about that. So come up with a plan for yourself. So if right now you're eating every couple of hours and you're going, 8 hours between dinner and breakfast, eating late at night, start with the basics. Start by moving your last meal back slowly, if you have to 3 hours before bedtime. Once you've done that, then let's look at 12 hours between when you have your last meal and I usually count it from when you finish your last meal till when you start your next meal, 12 hours, right? And once you've gotten that, let's look at the space between your meals. So if you're currently eating 6 meals every 2 hours, then start to increase the space between them little by little until you're down to just 3 meals a day with no snacking in between. And again, there's exceptions if you're super thin, sometimes I do have people eat every 3 hours when they're super thin and they have a low metabolic rate, a high metabolic rate, and they can't eat enough. And then if you want to try extended, then try the 1 day a week going 24 hours. Try that, like dinner to dinner, lunch to lunch, or breakfast to breakfast. And then if you want to venture into the longer ones, there's a good support group online, and Dr. Daniel Pompa, and I think it's Fasting with a Purpose. So they have, support that people do it, and I think 2 or 3 times a year they run that. They run a 5-day fast and people do it together. So if you need that support, I'm not prepared right now to do a fasting support group just because I think it takes a little bit more than I'm willing to go through it. So that's it. How was this for you? I see that there's questions posted in. I'm going to look at the Q&A first. I'm going to go to the chat, and then if you have a question and you're on the phone, specifically raise your hand, start to, or click the button that says raise hand. I'm going to go to the Q&A and see if anybody has questions in there. Refresh. None there. Okay, so I'll stick with the chat, and I'm going to look to see. Thank you for putting the link to the slides in there. Was it showing on the dashboard? It must be if you have that one. So I see Heather and Barbara, Angelica, Lynn, Leslie. Oops, it looks like she did. Hopefully Leslie got back in. Some people are having trouble listening. Okay, so Barbara got out and in. Sometimes maybe you had to refresh because I didn't have this. I'm going to stop this backup recording because at first my mic wasn't connected and it may be that you had to redo. Start another recording. Okay, so go back to the chat. All right, so So the Hormone Hacking Breakfast Menus, yeah, I highly recommend you download that. Really good recipes, but really good ideas for planning those meals. Heather, remind me, Pedro's asking if you said live seminar, whatever happened. Yeah, you were sent an email a while back, like shortly after it ended, maybe early to mid-November, and that had the link to a page that was not on the site yet because we had to do it. I just discovered the other day that that is on the site. I'm going to give you the link because it won't work for anybody if you're not, if you don't have access. But if it doesn't work for you, then we'll have to go in the back end and make sure our team has given access to everybody who purchased it. And it's on the main screen. If you were to go to Energy Recharge, no, if you were to go to the main screen in the Unstoppable Health site and scroll all the way to the bottom, hit all, not my programs, but all, you'll see programs you have and you don't. Go to the bottom and you'll see Fasting While Feasting and see if that's grayed out for you or if it says Start Program. If it says More Information, then it's grayed out for you and you don't have it. So if that's the case, we'll make sure we get that. So here's the link. It shouldn't work for those of you who haven't purchased it, and it will work for those of you who have. So go ahead and go there and have all the videos. It's really nicely done. And if it doesn't work, let us know. Just type it here, and I'll make sure that we get access to everybody who bought it. You're welcome, Heather. Let's see. Lynn says, I'm thinking of doing a juice feast in April for about a week. That's good with people with lots of blood sugar irregularities. Just be careful about the juices because if you put fruits in there or you drink them too fast, they can raise your blood sugar. So find those ones that really help you. I did some juicing over the weekend and it was phenomenal how I felt. And I did a lot of celery and cucumber and ginger, some kale and some arugula, and a lot of lemon. And it was delicious and very satisfying and energizing. So Heather says intermittent 16 hours every day, twice through fasting with food, varying schedule of two meals a day, ready to do a 24-hour. Yeah, just give it a try. You know, you keep yourself busy during those extra hours. If you're used to going 16, going an extra 8, you know, figure out what you're going to do during that. Keep yourself busy. Get yourself into an art project or a photo project or listening to a good book or something like that. I don't know who this is. It says, I can hear it now, thanks. Can you advise it if green tea breaks us out? I'm looking for autophagy. That shouldn't take you out of autophagy, no. One of the ways I forgot to mention was how you, the autophagy, how you can measure it. And so if you measure your glucose and your ketones at the same time, and then you convert your glucose, divide it by 18, which converts it into the international standard, and then divide your ketones by your glucose. That number we want to be one or less. One or more. Let's see if it's ketones. It depends on which way you go. You want the number for the glucose to be less than the number for the ketones. Yeah, so if it's one or more, then you're in really good autophagy. And you go to Keto Mojo and you click on, they have a link where it talks about measuring it and doing the autophagy calculation. They'll do it for you, just put your numbers in. Let's see. And Lynn said definitely no fruit. Yeah, except for, definitely no fruit. It says that, except for lemon and lime, you can do that. LaShawn says it says my membership has expired. LaShawn, did you purchase the Fasting with Food because it's Fasting While Feasting? Heather, go ahead and click it because I know you did. I don't know if you did, but if you haven't, it won't work for you if you haven't purchased that. And if it doesn't work for you, then I need to tell my team that they have to do it. Okay, so we'll make sure that that happens. I think it might have just gotten done yesterday because I just saw it for the first time yesterday, and they may not have put everybody through it. They may have wanted me to review it first. We'll make sure that happens. Okay. I don't see any other questions. I'm going to go to the Q&A again and refresh that. LaShawn, I was interested in So your membership to Vital. Okay, so LaShawn, I am going to send your message right now to my customer support person, and I'll have her look you up and see what the deal is. Oh, you purchased an annual for Vital. And is it on the main screen that it says that? Is it after you put your user ID and password in? So find that out. And I'm going to go to Christina. Okay, I gave her your information. All right, thank you. Okay, so any questions? I see no hands up. I see nothing in the Q&A, and I see nothing more in the chat. Did you click the link that I gave you, Heather? Right up above, it says unstoppablehealthcommunity.com/fasting-wild-dc. Click that and see if that works for you. I have a feeling that they didn't take that last step to get it activated, and we'll make sure that happens. All right, I think that's it. I'm going to open up everybody's line so I can hear your voices and you can say goodbye. I hope this was helpful. Type in the chat and let me know if this was useful, helpful information. I know some of it you already heard, but it's always helpful to hear again. And bye. So bye, everybody.
Bye, thank you.
You're welcome. Welcome.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. I can hear myself echoing this when I'm going. All right, I'm going to end the call.